Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we'll continue our investigation to Quran chapter 15 as it is tied to many other chapters all over the Quran when we talk about Abraham and Lot. In our last program, we ended our study by stating that there is no way for anyone to understand the Quran by just simply reading the Quran. Why? Because the information which is very vital to understand such passages are not there. It is only can be found in the pages of the Bible. And some would say, wait a minute, Brother Usama, you just looked at the early verses or the short passages of the Quran where you cannot actually get in depth to learn about Lot. That's why Allah gave us these other locations in the Quran from which you can get in depth about Lot. And you will know that he is a great prophet, a wonderful messenger, as you will learn about the message which he taught to his people. And the details of the story of Lot is there in the Quran. And I'll tell you, my friends, you're wrong. Why? Because as you will see today, even when we dig to the largest portions of the Quran where Allah mentioned Lot and the people of Lot, and we compare that which is written in these passages, you will discover not only that the Quran contradicts the Bible, but worse than that, the Quran contradicts the Quran. So without further ado, let us look at these passages all over the pages of the Quran. Here is the first location in the Quran where we learn about Lot and his message. That is Quran chapter 7, beginning from verse 80. And there we read, "And Lot, when he said to his people, 'Do you enter into the indecency which no one has committed before you of the worlds? Surely you enter into the men lustfully rather than the women, but you are an extravagant people.' And the answer of his people was not, except they said, 'Get them out of your village, for surely they are purified humans.' So we delivered him and his family, except his wife. She was of those who stayed behind, and we rained rain on them. So see how was the end of the criminals." Once again, yes, we learn in that passage that the people of Lot, who are not actually his people, because A, he's not a messenger sent to them, B, they were not from his original lineage. He is a Chaldean, an Iraqi, but the original people were Canaanites and Perizzites, as we read about them in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 7. So what we have here? Oh, they were homosexual. The men are involved with men, not with women. And that is what is written in verse 81. That is when Lot told these people, "You involve sexually with men lustfully rather than women. You are an extravagant people." What was the answer of his people when they heard that great message of that prophet of Allah? In verse 82, we know that they said, "Get them out of your village, for surely they are purified humans." That statement itself does not make any sense whatsoever. Why would the people of Lot like to get rid of him? Because he is purified. That means he's good. He's pure, and they were not. But that's not what we read in the Genesis account. And notice the punishment of Allah, as it is written in verse 83. First of all, Allah said, "We delivered him," that is Lot, "and his family, except his wife." Why Allah did not save the wife of Lot? She was of those who stayed behind. Why she stayed behind? When you read the word stayed behind, you may assume that she actually lived in the city where Lot was living. But that's not true. That contradicts the Quran itself. Also, from the biblical account, we know that she left. But there's something she did. And because she did what she did, God's punishment was on her. She did not stay behind, but she turned to something else, as we will see in our Genesis reading. What about the people of Lot? How did Allah punish them? In verse 84, it's written, and we rained rain on them. Wow. You mean lots of rain? Like maybe the rain of Noah? Where they have some local flood? That's what the Quran said. We rained rain on them. So see how was the end of the criminals. What was the crime? I thought maybe Allah would put the sinners, not the criminals. But it doesn't matter really what words Muhammad used in his poetry of the Quran, because he was only looking for words and with the right letters in the alphabet in the Arabic language so that he may have the rhyme, which he is hoping to accomplish from the writing of his Quran poetry. But besides that, there is no true message in such verses. Let's move on to the next location in the Quran where we learn about Lot and his people, and that is what is written in Quran chapter 11, beginning from verse 77. For there we read, and when our messengers came to Lot, wait a minute, I thought Lot was the messenger whom Allah sent to the people of Lot. Here in this verse, we actually see that Lot was not a messenger, but just a genuine man who lived in his city. And here Allah sent to him messengers. And messengers in the Arabic language is plural, which means in the Arabic grammar, three or more. That itself is a problem. Why? Because as we see in the biblical account, there were actually two angels, not three or more. That is a huge error in the Quran. But let's continue with the verse. He was troubled because of them. Why Lot was troubled because of them? I do not see any answer in the Quran, but in the Bible, we will figure it out. And his arm was tight. What does Allah mean by tight? Frustrated, because he could not protect them. He could not protect them from who or from what? We do not know. And he said, that is Lot, this is a dreadful day. Why this day was a dreadful day? We still do not know. Let's continue with the clear Quran, as Muslims claim. In verse 78, we read, and his people came hastily towards him. The people were rushing towards Lot? Yes, indeed. For before they were doing the evils, what evils they were doing? We still do not know from the reading of the Quran. He said, that is Lot, oh my people, these are my daughters. They are pure for you. So fear Allah and do not put me to shame. To my guests. I'm still confused, brothers and sisters. Why Lot offered his daughters to the people of his city, and why he would be ashamed of whatever else they are gonna do. You see, you and I read the Quran and we will understand it much better than the Muslims, because we know the true actual account of the Bible, and we know what kind of people they were and what these people of Lot were looking for from his guests. But that's not what we read in that passage so far in the Quran. And I love it how many of the Muslims who left Islam and became an atheist use that portion of the Quran to say, look, this cannot be morally right. Why is that? Because they believe that Lot was a prophet. And what's wrong with that? Well, prophets in Islam are perfect. Like Muhammad, supposedly to be perfect to the Muslims, those who do not know anything about Muhammad. And the more we know about, every name is mentioned in the Quran as a prophet, including Muhammad himself, the more we know for certain that they cannot be prophets, according to the teaching of the Quran. Why? Because once again, the Quran teaches that prophets are perfect. So what kind of prophet is that who is willing up to this point to give his two daughters for the men of the city to be involved with them sexually instead of being involved sexually with the two men, the guests of Lot. What Muslims do not understand that Lot was not a prophet, nor a messenger. And more important than that, all the prophets in the Bible and all the messengers in the Bible were not perfect, which means they're all sinners. If you can find one person beside our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ in the Bible who is perfect as Muslims claim all prophets are, that means the Bible is completely wrong. Why is that? Because the Word of God is very clear. All have sinned. There's not righteous, not even one. But see, the devil is so smart. He made Muhammad, created the ideology that prophets are perfect. And then he bring many of the stories of the Bible and insert it in the Quran with multiple corruption and contradictions, as we're going to see as we continue our study. And then now the devil is using the knowledge which some Muslims got to receive by investigating the Quran to see these contradictions and these errors, and to see that even Abraham and Lot, these two great prophets, were sinners. How in the world do you expect me to respect such a prophet like Lot when he offered his own two daughters for the people of his city to sleep with? We're not talking about marrying to two guys in the city. I'm talking about all the men of the city can enjoy a sexual relationship with Lot's own daughters. And you tell me that Lot is a prophet? After all, prophets are supposed to be perfect. Therefore, Muslims come to the conclusion, the Quran is wrong. Therefore, Allah is not God. And then they come to the final conclusion that there is no God. No, my dear Muslim friends, your Muhammad confused you with his lies. Prophets are real. They're real people like everybody else. They were sent by God to warn the people for their sin, and they themselves were sinners. From Adam to the last man who will walk on the face of the earth, all have sinned. Even Abraham, yes. Even Lot, yes, as we'll continue to see in the rest of our study.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
After Lot said to his people in Quran chapter 11 and verse 78, "These are my daughters, they are pure for you, so fear Allah and do not put me to shame." To my guests, once again we ask, how can they fear Allah by having sex with his own two daughters? And what was the shame? The shame was that the people of his city were interested to have sexual relationship with his men, the guests who came to his house. But listen to the rest of the saying of Lot. "Is there not among you a man with a right mind?" How can you see men with right mind to be involved with the daughters of Prophet Lot, as Muslims claim? But listen to the answer of his people. They said, "Indeed, you know we have no right to your daughters. Whoa. Do you know that the people of Lot are more wiser than Lot himself? And that's why Muslims mock the Quran and say there is no God. They know they cannot be involved sexually with his daughters. But at the same time, they have the right to be involved with his guests, the men who came to his house. They ended by stating, "And surely you will know what we want." Oh, you know exactly what we want, Lot. We want the men who entered your house. Listen to the response of Lot. In Quran chapter 11, verse 8, you will read, he said, "Would that I had power to resist you or could seek a refuge with a strong supporter." It is a statement to say that Lot was hopeless. He did not know where he can seek strength or help against the situation which he is in. In verse 81, they said, and these are the visitors or the men who came to Lot's house. O Lot, surely we are messengers of your Lord. They will not reach to you. So depart with your family a part of the night, and no one of you turn around except your woman. What a strange sentence. It makes one wonder if the person who wrote the Quran was under some influence of drugs or alcohol. Why is that? Because here the story, first of all, contradicts that which we read in Quran chapter 7, verses 80 to 84. For there we know that the Quran said that his wife, that is Lot's wife, stayed behind. She was among those who stayed in the city where Lot used to live. But here they are asking Lot, listen carefully, after they told him that they are messenger of his Lord, to depart with his family a part of the night. That means they were traveling for, I don't know, a couple, 3 hours during the night. And then they said to him, and no one of you turn around. So you're going to be keep going and going and going for some hours of the night. And nobody look behind. And then read what? Except your woman. It is like Allah meant for Lot's wife not to make it because Allah decree on her she will look behind. But we still do not know what happened when the wife of Lot looked behind. As we read in the end of that verse, surely it will befall on her what will befall on them. The punishment will come on her will be the same as the punishment which will come on them. Who are them? The people of Lot. We learn from Quran chapter 7 verses 80 to 84 that actually Allah rained a rain on them. So we assume here in Quran chapter 11 verse 81 that somehow it will rain on Lot's wife as much as it will rain on the people of Lot. Surely their appointed time is in the morning. Is not the morning near? Ooh, now we know the timing of the punishment of Allah on Lot's people and on Lot's wife. Let's continue in verse 82 as we read, so when our command came, we made on it its bottom. What? Yes, you heard me right. We made on that city where Lot used to live its bottom. What do you mean by that? Oh, we turn it upside down so you can see all the houses is in the ground and the dirt which used to be under the houses is on the top. Wait a minute. That's not the same punishment which we read in Quran chapter 7 verses 80 to 84. I was looking for some rain. Heavy rain, as a matter of fact. No, that's not what the Quran said. As we continue with the same verse, and we rain down on them rocks of sajil. What is sajil? That is baked clay, non-Arabic word of Persian origin. So wait a minute, the city was turned upside down and then rocks made out of baked clay were dropping on them as rain. Oh, now I know what kind of rain Allah was talking about in Quran chapter 7 verse 84. It was rain, and that rain was actually not water rain, but actually pieces of baked clay. And that is what fell on the peoples of Lot and on his wife. No, still wrong information. Not only it does not match what we have read previously in Quran chapter 7, but also it does not match what we will be reading in the Genesis account. But what is so amazing about these baked clay, it's not just baked clay. No. Listen carefully. One after another, that means there's lots of them, which is, that's why Allah said, rain on them. But then it says in verse 83, we read, marked from your Lord. Wow. What was the mark on these pieces of baked clay? The names. Yes, indeed. Ibn Kathir, the great Muslim scholar, is telling us that each rock fall from the heaven as rain on the people of Lot and on Lot's wife actually have the written name of the person which is supposed to fall on to kill. So there was one big nice of baked clay have the name Mrs. Lot. Yes, indeed, Mrs. Lot was written on that piece of baked clay, and when it fell from the heaven as rain, it hit her on the head, crushed her skull, cracked her skull, and that's how she died. So did the rest of the people of the city of Lot. What a great imagination of Muhammad and those who helped him to make up the poetry of the Quran. And verse 83 ended with the statement, and it is not far from the unjust. Yes, indeed. All the unjust must be punished, and Allah is able to do it, and it was easy for Allah to do. In our next broadcast, we will look at the rest of the repeated story of Lot and his people. Also, we will be examining the true Genesis account to see not only the Quran contradicts the Bible, but the Quran contradicts the Quran. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.